Hello, girls and theys. Welcome back to Astro Hotline. Today, we are going to be talking about Scorpio and the full moon in Taurus. So, that's a lot. This episode is going to be divided into two sections. So, the first half, we're going to be talking about Scorpio mostly. And then, second half is going to be full moon in Taurus that we are currently in, as well as horoscopes for all 12 signs. So, without further ado, let's get involved. Okay, so, primer. I am not going to villainize Scorpios, and I'm also not going to romanticize, fantasize, sexualize Scorpios either. We're going to keep this objective, because I'm a very objective person. I am Saturn ruled. I like to keep it that way. So let's get into it. So for one, Scorpio is a very misunderstood sign. It's sort of fallen victim into pop astrology, which if you don't know what that is, pop astrology is just a way of taking really complex astrological topics, straining, you know, kind of draining of its complexity and packing it into something that can be consumed by the masses. So this is what you see in a lot of the magazines and websites and things like that. However, I will say that recently the information that we are seeing in a lot of media channels have been very good. And I think part of that is sort of the resurgence of people getting interested in astrology and also these companies or whatever actually hiring astrologers that know what they're talking about. And not only just write astrology, they do astrology. So that's really great. However, you still kind of see the persistence of the stereotypes that mostly are derived from pop astrology. And so Scorpio is up there with sort of that victimization. It's really not a lot of people have their emotions or feelings towards Scorpios, whether really, really bad or really, really good. There's never nothing in between. And the same thing goes for Gemini. They're kind of up there with just being like the worst. So let's just kind of say fuck you to all of that and actually talk about what's really scorpionic. So for one, Scorpio is a fixed water sign ruled by Mars. Mars is a planet that operates on our life force. It's our survival mechanisms, and Scorpio is very much in tune with wanting to survive. Much of the things that they do is mostly due to protect themselves so they don't get hurt or they don't fall into manipulation by other peoples. This is an energy that deals with power dynamics as well, which we will get into later on. It is fixed, so it is very strong-willed. It cannot be easily compelled. And it's water, so it is a sign dealing with emotions in depth. However, the emotions here is expressed very differently than Cancer and Pisces. And the reason that being is that, you know, Scorpio has its stinker, which can be in some ways fatal, but it's mostly fatal to themselves. And they also represent the really deep parts of the water. And so whereas, you know, Pisces is sort of the expansion, the horizon of the water, and maybe you can, you know, say Cancer is more so of the shores and the tides of the water, how it's always constantly, you know, shifting and going. Scorpio is the underneath part, and that's how their emotions are kind of seen. They have very powerful emotions. A lot of these are very unpleasant emotions, and that's something that you want to, you know, relish in. And so what they do is that they take these emotions and repress them. They kind of put them into a box and kind of leave them there. However, that box likes to talk. So it'll knock sometimes and be like, hey, can you open me? Can you, like, you know, unpack this? Like, you know, when someone says you have to unpack this, yeah, you really have to unpack that. Scorpios don't really like doing that because the emotions can be rather a lot. But that is not to say that, you know, no other sign kind of goes through that, but that is something that is very scorpionic. And remember, we have this energy in all of us. So when you're hating on Scorpios, you're hating on a part of yourself. The more you know. And it's also, you know, because they're repressing, they're also a sign that kind of needs some type of I don't like using this word, but they need some type of intensity. And so they'll, you know, get attracted, or they'll move towards people that have their own shit going on and try to help them work through that rather than working through themselves. However, there comes to a point where these emotions are just going to come up. They're going to reveal themselves. And when that moment happens, it can be rather climatic. It can be very cathartic. But it is going to drive a lot of emotion and a very high response. A lot of the energy associated with Scorpio is not very, you know, pleasant. It is a sign that can represent trauma, that can represent shame. And so these are things that we don't like to talk about. These are things that we don't like to revisit. However, this is also a sign of transformation. And with transformation comes healing. And so in order to transform ourselves, we do have to shed the parts that are no longer of use to us. And that is the most primitive part of healing. However, in order to do that, we need to be honest with ourselves, right? So Scorpio is a sign that loves authenticity, that loves rawness, that loves people being honest with them. However, what you will find is that Scorpios are not very honest with themselves. And so that stinger, when it strikes them, they die. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not. I mean, if you do get stung by a scorpion, then you are probably going to die. But in astrological terms, stinging yourself, not very good. It hurts, not a really good idea, and it makes you less likely to move forward. So an important thing that Scorpios need to do is, yes, let go, but in order to do that, we need to make acknowledgments of what exactly we're letting go. Now, Scorpio is also really good at investigating. They're really good at parsing out information, looking deep through things. However, again, the issue is that they don't really do that with themselves very often. But I will say that because Scorpio is so operated around surviving, they'll tend to be paranoid. And I don't like to use paranoid as the same way as the clinical paranoia, but more so of making up situations that they are in danger when really they are not. And what that does is it only hurts themselves more. And so again, going back to that symbolism of them kind of striking themselves with their own sting. So rather than viewing Scorpio as being vindictive or very revengeful, really a lot of the conflict with Scorpio, and this is really unique because, you know, Scorpio is usually a sign that we associate with, you know, it's a social sign, so it's usually an energy oriented around the other. However, a lot of energy is about themselves. You know, we think of how the eighth house, I don't like associating eighth house with Scorpio because it's sort of the alphabet method, but the Scorpio is a sign that represents the underneath part, and in ways that can also be associated with the eighth house. And the eighth house is not where you want to have the sun. So when you think of the sun as our identity and our lively expression, it does not like being in the eighth house, nor does it operate very well in the eighth house. You have a lot of ego issues. And I do think Scorpio has a lot of ego issues that not a lot of people talk about. I would say fixed signs particularly have the biggest ego issues, but Scorpio, not really talked about. It's mostly Leo and Aquarius because they represent that ego access. But Scorpio, you know, can be very egotistical because of the fact that they can be really associated with wanting to survive and kind of putting themselves first and be very selfish. However, these are all bad tendencies, and they're not tendencies that you really hear about. You really hear of them just being assholes, but not every asshole is a Scorpio, and not every Scorpio is an asshole. So remember that. However, what they are really good at doing, and this is sort of a good characteristic that I don't really hear very often, is that they, not only can they transform themselves, but they can also relay that transformation to other people. And so this is a sign that actually likes to help people. This is a sign that likes to heal and to bring other people out of their shadows into a better ground. And so Scorpio will have a very, I wouldn't want to say pessimistic, but a very honest look on the world, and they would want to change it. They would want to, you know, allow others to reach a transformative level by purging that shame and allowing themselves to grow. This is a sign that loves to grow. Growth, security, big identifiers between the relationship between Taurus and Scorpio. Remember that. Now, Scorpio is also, in terms of our body, yes, represents genitals, and we will get to the sex caricature of Scorpio energy, but it also rules our shitting and peeing systems. I don't know the exact name. It's a urinary system. I don't know what the fuck it is, but Scorpio rules the process of shitting and peeing, sort of excreting waste from our bodies. And when you think of, you know, that these wastes are very toxic to the body and that we can't keep them, we have to eventually let them go and let them out, they also rule vomit. Little extra note. These are all processes that are about purging, and that's very much what Scorpionic energy is about. 100% is about getting rid of the bad stuff to allowing better stuff to take its place. So that's a little round table of Scorpionic energy. Now, I just want to make sure I hit through all the stereotypes, because they asked my Twitter followers to send me some stereotypes that they are kind of sick of when it comes to Scorpio. And I think a few of them were about the revenge stereotype. Oh, the sex stereotype. Okay, so a lot of people like to assume that Scorpio is related to sex, because, you know, Libra, which is the sign that comes before, represents marriage. And so because Scorpio likes that rawness between others, that's assumed to be related to sex. It's not always the case. Personally, for me, sex can be related to Scorpio, and if you're talking about power imbalances, because that is something that's associated with the sign, is evaluating people who have power over you, and situations where you have power over others, and that can definitely relate to sex. However, that's not a good type of sex, right? It's not a sex that you would want to experience for yourself. So it's not a pleasure-inducing sex, and so that's why I don't like to associate that with Scorpio. And I know a lot of people hate that as well, because it sort of creates this sexualized stereotype that, like, oh, I'm gonna bang a Scorpio Mars because, like, their dick is probably really bomb. Like, no, you're not. If you do that, then you're a weirdo. I'm just gonna be completely honest with you. Like, when people, like, look at other people's charts and decide based on those placements which one has the better dick, get a hobby and get a personality. Okay, so I think we can finally talk about the full moon in Taurus that is upon us currently. And as a natal Taurus moon, I'm having a really great time. I'm having a fabulous time. Taurus full moon is always a great opportunity to assess your valuables, shedding, and these valuables can be actual possessions, they can be people, they can be something that's a little bit metaphysical, they can be habits, anything that you deem valuable or have been deeming valuable is going to be assessed during this time and through this upcoming week, and making the necessary changes and modifications that you know, that may require letting go some of these things so that you can allow yourself to grow and make more space for yourself. You want to be able to take up space, especially with a lot of the Scorpio energy going on. You're going to need room to express yourself in ways that are very profound, deep, and yes, unsettling. And Taurus is an energy that can be related to gluttony, can be over intake, over consumption. And so we are going to be questioning the things that we take in. and work towards moderation, or working towards either increasing that uptake or decreasing the uptake. But you don't want to overdo something, whether it's a food or whatever it may be, a habit that's not really good for you. This is all about treating your body with kindness. The Taurus has that connection with the body. It's very earth related. And when we think of earth, we think of the body, and we think of ground. We think of grounding ourselves and being secured. Now, this moon is also in conjunction, well, not in conjunction, but is conjuncting to Uranus. And so people like to say Uranus, but I'm just going to say Uranus because I'm just going to do that. So moon conjunction Uranus creates a lot of shifts, right? It creates a lot of surprises, and a lot of breakthroughs. So this is a really, this can really enhance the emotional expression of the energy. But it can also really push you through change and through, you know, claiming your independence, you know, especially with finances. Finances is going to be highlighted under this energy. It's all about our resources, you know, our aesthetics. So relating to self-worth and self-esteem. And with that being in opposition to Venus retrograde in Scorpio, these questions are going to be further highlighted. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give a small horoscope for each of the 12 signs. Now, something to keep in mind is that if you have a rising sign, the ascendant, that is around 26 or 25 degrees, you want to listen to both your rising sign and the one that comes right after it. The reason that is that you may have these planetary placements being in the next house over. So, for example, if you had a 26-degree Aries sign, you'd want to hear the Aries and the Taurus horoscope because the moon might kind of shift that into your second house. But you're in Aries rising, so it's always important to kind of listen to both. And that's what I do because I have a 26-degree Capricorn rising, so I listen to, not listen to, but I always read horoscopes for both my Capricorn and my Aquarius signs, because they both tend to be in some ways accurate. So I'm just giving that a little heads up. People will listen to their sun, their moon, but these are mostly written based on your rising. So that's what I'm telling you, and that's what hopefully you'll do. So Aries, the moon is going to be conjuncting Uranus in your second house. And so what this is going to do is it's going to raise the question of how you can secure yourself. This is really going to be the typical, you know, assessing your valuables, how you reach security in order for you to move forward. There's going to be a lot of changes within your finances or how you handle them, pushes towards budgeting and making the modifications around that, as well as what you are holding on to. And so you may be very, very resistant to letting go. But this full moon is going to really teach you to, yes, let go and also figure out what you have. And well, that question can help you realize on how to utilize it, especially for the new moon in Scorpio that will be coming up much later. So Taurus, the moon is going to be conjuncting Uranus in your first house. So this is the house of identity, the house of, you know, how we navigate through the world. And so you're going to have a lot of revelations surrounding, you know, how you plan on moving through life. And this is very bodily. This is very related to your appearance and identity. So you may be making changes to the way you look. You may be feeling a particular way towards yourself. And so this is the perfect opportunity to kind of treat your body with kindness and making the necessary improvements that you want to make, whether it's regarding your weight, you know, your skin, you know, your hair, you know, the way that you take care of yourself, the way that you dress yourself. This is the perfect time to do that. Gemini. So the full moon is going to be touching on to your 12th house. 12th house is not always the best house to have shit going on. And then Venus will also be in opposition, and the sun as well, and a lot of the other planets in Scorpio will be in your sixth house. And so this is a house that's all about, the 12th house is very ambiguous. It's a very hard house to put into practical terms because it doesn't like to operate in practicality. But I can tell you that this is a time to make really big realizations and assessments regarding life in general, and also the limitations that are being put forth and how you can overcome those limitations. There's going to be a lot of focus this upcoming month on your daily life that may help assess those questions. So working towards a better diet or working towards a better living situation, better organization, you know, just housekeeping rules. And applying a framework may really help you with that. Cancer, you are going to be having this energy in your 11th house. So this is all about communities, society at large. And you may be feeling really involved in the political system right now, or like the politics around your community or areas. And you want to contribute somehow. You want to be a valuable participant. And so you may want to, you know, go out and vote, which is on November 6th. But also kind of contribute your money, finances to organizations and charities and things like that. Leo, this energy is going to be happening in your 10th house. So the house of, you know, your career, but more so how you're going to move forward and think of the future. And so this is all about, you know, getting on board with whatever you're doing, getting on top of deadlines, and securing a very bright financial future. Those are the questions. However, you have a lot of energy right now that are being concentrated in the fourth. And so with this 10th and fourth dynamic, it's sort of pushing you in two ends of, you know, you really have to take this opportunity to catapult yourself further. Because if not, then you're going to fall back into, you know, the same place that you've been and kind of get lost in the past, so to say. Virgo, this energy is going to be happening in your ninth house. So the full moon in the ninth house is about expansion. It's about, in ways, traveling, education. And so this is a really great time to be open. Uranus in this house is going to be really nice, especially on top of a moon. You're going to want to be open and loosen up, be open to other people's perspectives that can very much help you. But you also have this energy operating the third and ninth houses. So this is all about our belief systems. And so it's very important that you don't become very black and white with those belief systems and be open to other perspectives. Then we have Libra. I have this all written on a piece of paper. Okay, so Libra, this is happening in your eighth house. So eighth house is all about, you know, what I mentioned earlier. It's about, you know, the unseen. It's more so about about traumas and shame and things that we've kept, you know, underlocked. Now is going to be a time where you'll be experiencing those underlocked things that, you know, may be unpleasant for you. So this time is going to create a very high emotional response, but you need to be patient with yourself. This is a very slow and stable energy. So you being air, you want to get this shit done fast. You can't always do that. So be patient with yourself, love yourself, and remember, going through pain takes time. Pain also operates in cycles. It's not linear. So I think learning that really helps, you know, people, and especially, you know, me, because I always think, all right, well, I've gone through this, I'm done, I don't have to think about it anymore. Now, knowing that it's going to happen again, you kind of prepare yourself, or you try better to like limit it's welcome back. So this full moon, get in touch with those things. Get in touch with, I don't want to say get in touch with your trauma, but get in touch with the shame that you've been carrying, and learn to let that go so that you can become stronger, right? That's what we're here for. Scorpio, this energy is happening in your seventh house. So this is energy surrounding the other and relationships. And so, yeah, that's going to be the focus for this full moon. A lot of this energy is going to, you have it operating in the first and seventh houses. So it's about cooperation. It's about also, you know, agency. And so you may find a lot of difficulty with relationships, but if you are in one, this could be a time to work towards long commitment, right? This may be a really good time to really get involved with the other person, even on an intimate level. And this can apply to your friendships as well. Sagittarius energy is happening in your sixth house. And so sixth house is about our common life, our day-to-day activities, and it's our habits. This is a really great time to get yourself on firm ground, to really develop a really good framework for yourself. Having, you know, because this is an earth full moon, earth full moons are really great with getting your shit together. So, you know, making plans for yourself, particularly, you know, around finances. If there's bills that need to be paid, you got to pay them. Obviously, the working with developing, you know, obligations and tasks for yourself so that you don't lose ground, right? You want to keep yourself in some type of framework so that you can live in, even though you're fire, even though you like to run around and be free and expand. It's also important to kind of create some type of limitation for yourself so you don't get too haywire and lost. Next is Capricorn. So I mentioned on my Twitter page that if you're a Cap rising, you need to masturbate. This is a perfect time to masturbate and fuck. So the full moon is happening in the house of pleasure in the fifth house. I don't want to reveal too much information, but I tried this activity earlier today. Wonderful experience. So if you're a Cap rising, especially since being an energy that's so, I don't want to say uptight, but very kind of restrictive, this is the perfect time to treat yourself and allow yourself to feel and get in touch with your body and like how to pleasure your body. It's a great time. If you're an Aquarius rising, this energy is happening in your fourth house. And so what you may experience is a sort of realignment with the past and what has happened in the past as means to move forward. So when we don't acknowledge the past, we sort of kind of don't have a reference to where we need to go forward or how to empower ourselves to keep going forward. So this is a really great time to kind of reflect on that and so that you can, you know, elevate yourself into higher places and work towards the energy that's happening in your 10th house. But this is really kind of dealing with, you know, past versus future and being a very futuristic sign. Aquarians fucking hate this. So be patient with your work. Pisces, this energy is happening in your third house, which is sort of how we utilize our resources. It's also communications and things like that. So this is a great time to kind of be firm with what you believe in, being very mutable and also kind of seen as a passive energy that's open to all types of perspectives. You want to be firm in your beliefs and in your boundaries. This is a really great time to set that for yourself, especially with other people, particularly in terms of what they believe in. So, you know, empower yourself through thought, through your beliefs, and don't let someone push you around. So those are the horoscopes for this full moon. And this upcoming week, we have some things going on. We have Mercury entering into Sagittarius, I think on the 30th, so right before Halloween. And this is a really, Mercury is in detriment in Sagittarius, but for me, it's always a great time because Sagittarius is an energy really associated with being very expansive and talking about these complex, very large base topics. And so we're going to be seeing a lot of immersions around politics during this time, especially with voting coming up very soon. So there's going to be a lot of immersions towards social movements and talking about social issues in a way that's very activist based. And that can be very exciting. We also have Jupiter entering Sag in November as well, which is going to be a very pleasant time. A lot of reaping in benefits and expansion for all, and it can be in very financial ways, but it also can be in very spiritual and metaphysical ways as well. So thank you for listening. And I hope everyone is having a great full moon, and I'll see you guys soon.